Radio Prague News. The Council of Europe's Human Rights Commissioner has urged the Czech authorities to improve conditions in the country's detention facilities for migrants. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has repeated his call for Olomouc regional governor Jiří Rozbořil, who faces charges of corruption, to resign from office. And President Miloš Zeman has come under fire for anti-Islamic remarks. The Council of Europe's Human Rights Commissioner Nils Muzhniks has urged the Czech authorities to improve conditions in the country's detention facilities for migrants. The commissioner said he was greatly concerned about the conditions in which migrants were being held in the Czech Republic, citing a report by Czech ombudswoman Anna Šabatová, and asked for corrective action to be taken without delay. Following a visit to the Bělá Jezová detention facility north of Prague, the ombudswoman said she was shocked by the conditions in which children were kept, citing barbed wire fences, lack of warm clothing and a prison regime. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka on Friday repeated his call for Olomouc regional governor Jiří Rozbořil, who faces charges of corruption, to resign from office. On arriving in Olomouc for a meeting of the regional Social Democratic Party branch, Mr. Sobotka said that under the circumstances, Mr. Rozbořil's resignation was the only possible course of action. Jiří Rozbořil, who is suspected of having solicited a bribe, has denied any wrongdoing and said on Thursday that before considering his resignation, he wanted to present his case to the Prime Minister and regional party leadership. Two high-ranking police officers who were charged with corruption on Thursday, along with the governor of Olomouc and an influential local entrepreneur, will be suspended from office, the police presidium said in a statement on Friday. The deputy head of the Olomouc Regional Police Force, Karel Kadlec, and the head of the region's police department for economic crime, Radek Petruj, are believed to have been part of a powerful corruption ring in the region and are suspected of having covered up dubious tenders and financial irregularities. They have been charged with abuse of office and bribery. President Miloš Zeman has come under fire for statements that he made on a visit to the Zlín region on Friday. In an informal debate with the employees of a local company, Mr. Zeman said that migrants of the Muslim faith had no desire to integrate, and if they settled here, they would not respect Czech laws but adhere to the Sharia. He predicted that in due time Muslim women in Europe would be stoned and thieves would have their hands chopped off. Human Rights Minister Jiří Dienstbier slammed the president's words as irresponsible scaremongering, and Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bělobrádek also took issue with the head of state, reminding him that the Czech Republic had a Muslim senator who abided by the country's laws and respected European values. A Prague court has refused to arbitrate the case against the art group Starven, whose members recently replaced the presidential flag over Prague Castle with a gigantic pair of red boxer shorts in protest at Mr. Zeman's policies and behaviour. The judge sent the case back to the police for further investigation, saying there was insufficient proof that the two young men who faced charges were responsible for the damage to the roof of Prague Castle and that the overall damage assessment presented was inaccurate. The state attorney may appeal the decision. The Czech Rectors Conference has said its members will not attend the ceremony at Prague Castle marking Czechoslovakia Independence Day on October 28th. The academic boycott of the celebrations is a show of protest over the president's decision not to invite two university rectors to Prague Castle over past disagreements. For the third year now, the rectors of Brno's Masaryk University and the St. Bohemian University in České Budějovice have not been included on the guest list as a result of personal disputes with the head of state. The rectors' conference says this is undignified and has accused Mr. Zeman of appropriating the public holiday. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should bring partly cloudy skies and day temperatures between 8 and 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, a novel event commemorates the lives of Jews transported from a former Prague train station. We have a roundup of business stories, and later we hear about the hugely popular Signal Light Festival, which this year should be the biggest yet. All that's coming up in today's programme. Now, guess what this is? That, believe it or not, is the sound of former US Secretary of State Madeleine Albright playing drums at the Czech Embassy in Washington to mark the anniversary of the first Jewish transports from Prague on the 16th of October 1941. A mass public drum session to remember those deported from Prague has been held on Friday at the former Bubny railway station, from which around 50,000 people were sent to their deaths. Called Drumming for Bubny, the event's been organised by the Memorial of Silence and the Doc Centre for Contemporary Art. Just before it took place, Ruth Frankova spoke to Leos Valka from Docs, who says the title plays on the fact that Bubny means drums in Czech.
The drum is a traditional tool for attracting attention, and it was used historically for public calls and public meetings and with armies. So we think it's very appropriate for attracting the attention, which was the reason for drums. It's attracting the attention of passers-by or for public, and also it is a symbolic expression of the reason that we want to go against the silence of majority, which we think was undisputable part of what was happening in the Czech Republic or other countries affected by the fascism. There was a general public which tolerated everything happening around without any protest, in a way. So it was this silent majority which is a target for our attention. We shouldn't be silent when things are dramatic and happening around us.
And I guess it is also relevant for what is happening nowadays in Europe.
Absolutely. It's not the historical Holocaust with all its implications and so on. It's the psychological aspect of it, also very important that these situations can happen again and are happening in a different context. But we are now witnessing a massive, massive problems which we all have to somehow take a position to.
You told me that you wanted to attract the attention of the public, so I guess the event is open to the public and anyone can come bring a drum.
Absolutely.
And
no, it's meant to be for public. The idea is to attract the attention of everybody, so hopefully we are going to start a tradition. We hope to repeat it every year on the same date with the increasing number of drummers, professionals and non-professionals, and hopefully this is going to be one of the largest assembly of drummers in Europe.
Now, the event marks not only the first transports from Prague, but it also wants to raise awareness and funding for the Memorial of Silence in Prague, and there will be an exhibition launched on the same day. Can you tell me more about it?
It's correct. This exhibition, it's called Fragment, so it's really a fragment of the future programs which we hope to organize inside the building, the railway stations in the future, after it's going to be converted and rebuilt for a memorial of silence. And yes, we want to attract attention of individuals, but also institutions who will be willing to support this project so we can raise enough money to actually start the rebuilding of the railway station. And hopefully in 2 years' time, we will have a functioning center for silence.
Finally, Prague's Drumming for Bubny was preceded by an event at the Embassy of the Czech Republic, and it was attended by Madeleine Albright. Will there be any special guests in Prague today?
Well, there will be ambassadors from different embassies, and there will be people we know from Czech cultural lives. But the main reason is to have the unified voice of the public. So if there are any important people mixed in a crowd, you know, they are not going to have a special treatment in a way.
That was Leos Valka of the Doc Center for Contemporary Art on an event that's been taking place here in Prague on Friday. Now I'm joined by Jan Wellinger with a collection of business stories from this week.
We begin with this. Czech L410 turbolet passenger planes could be manufactured in Russia in 2020. According to Andrei Kosichin, the head of the Russian industrial holding firm UGMK, which became the wholesale owner of Let Kunovitsa Aircraft Industries in 2013. UGMK presented the first L410NG aircraft designed this summer. Some model parts could already be produced within 2 years. The L410s manufactured in Russia will, not surprisingly, be primarily for the Russian market as well as neighboring countries.
The average cost per kilometre of a taxi ride in the Czech capital is 20 crowns. Alternative taxi service firms Taxify and Liftago have revealed. City Hall enforced a cap on the price per kilometre at a maximum 28 crowns, but is offering to raise the price to 32. Taxi companies, however, are lobbying for the ceiling to be lifted to 38 or even 45. Other data gathered showed that taxi drivers, on average, drive between 200 and 300 kilometres per day, but only 25% of the distance covered is with customers.
Gas and diesel fuel prices have continued to drop in the Czech Republic. The cost of tanking up is at its lowest since February. Over 1 week, Natural 95 fell by 25 hellers to an average of 30.53 crowns per liter, while diesel dropped by 6 hellers to an average 29.38 crowns, CCS, a company monitoring sales, said. Prices in Prague, however, remain higher than in the rest of the country. By region, Úzký Liberec and Moravia Silesia have the lowest. All currently sell diesel for less than 28 crowns a liter, while Úzký has the lowest average price for unleaded gas.
Beekeepers received a total of 64.5 million crowns in subsidies in 2015 and will receive a similar amount next year, the State Agricultural Intervention Fund has confirmed. Half of this year's subsidies came from the state budget and the rest from EU funds. The Czech Beekeepers Association said that more than 50,000 beekeepers, owning almost 600,000 bee colonies, applied for funding this year. They asked for more funding than was available. Despite winter losses, the spring saw good conditions. A kilo of honey currently sells for 130 to 180 crowns. Dark honey costs around 180, the Czech news agency added.
And finally, prices have continued to go up for vegetables, including potatoes, carrots and paprika peppers, the Czech Statistics Office reports. The Czech Vegetable Growers Union of Bohemia and Moravia's Jaroslav Zeman confirmed he did not expect prices to fall before the next harvest. He confirmed the conventional wisdom was that by this time of the year, prices usually fell by 30 to 40%. 2015, however, has proven the exception so far. For example, the price of carrots rose by 5% to more than 20 crowns per kilo. That's a difference of 6 crowns from the same period last year. Low-cost imports could still influence a drop in prices, but Mr. Zeman suggested that was unlikely given the yield results in the rest of Europe.
Now, in the final part of our program, we hear about the third Signal Festival of Light. It's become one of the biggest events on the Prague cultural calendar, and it's the subject of this edition of The Arts with Jan Wellinger.
The UK daily The Guardian rated last year's edition of Signal one of the best festivals of its kind in Europe. So it's no surprise that this year's Signal was greatly anticipated. A few hours before it opened on Thursday, I spoke to one of the festival's co-founders, Martin Posta.
Well, especially in terms of organization, we had to prepare for even more people. Depending on the weather, we actually may have more people than the last year, because the fame of the festival, if I may call it like that, is spreading around, and we're getting visitors also from abroad and from more distant regions of the Czech Republic. Concerning that, we wanted to prepare a more smooth passage of the visitors through the festival. So we planned a one-way route, which we recommend that visitors of the festival to take in order to, you know, get a better user experience or better visitor experience from the festival.
In practical terms, that means that online they will be able to follow the route, for example, directly find out what's on when and so on.
Exactly. Actually, it's quite simple. You take it from the lowest number and go to the highest number. Installation, let's say number 1, and you go up until installation number 21, just to make it simple.
Now, over the last few days, passersby have been able to see a giant white sphere going up at Prague's Klarov, at Malá Strana. And my understanding, that is one of the main attractions. How is that going to work, and what is it?
Well, basically, it's a mobile planetarium, just to make it plain simple. It's a mobile dome where we have prepared 360-degree projection. It was a final result of a year-ongoing project of international co-production amongst the festivals, amongst four festivals, to bring this installation to life. And it's basically inflatable planetarium where we're going to present an art piece by French artist Joanny Lemercier, who is one of the founding members of a label, audiovisual label called Anti-VJ, which were the pioneers of video mapping in Europe.
Tell me a little bit about Janet Eckelman. Her work is one of also the main attractions. I wanted to ask you if that installation, to a degree, also pushes the envelope in terms of technology, because it sounds very interesting.
Well, Janet Eckelman's work is called 1.26, and the whole story behind it is very interesting, because she is an artist, traveled around the world to get her actually pictures, because she was a painter originally, to get her pictures stolen somewhere in India. And in order to be able to present something for the exhibition that she was there for, she got inspired, or she got her inspiration from fishnets that were hanging on the beaches of India. So that was kind of inception of her perception of these kinds of installations. And in terms of technology, this one is not the most advanced technologically piece. It's monumental. It's very spacious and airy, but still very intriguing in terms of view, in terms of perception of the festival visitors.
The actual projection, the way that the light is used, that it reacts to all kinds of different, say, fluctuations in the environment. Is that correct?
Yes, that was the original story behind it. She actually got inspired by a seismic rupture in South America, where the seismic rupture had influence on the time spin of the Earth around its axis. So that was it.
It's always very exciting to see, say, more traditional forms working, for example, with a light installation. And there we have the case of Czech sculptor Česmír Šuška, who your website describes as the matador of the sculpture scene, with a work called Ocelot. And he's working with Petr Pufler, is that correct?
Exactly. The curious about this installation is that we kind of put together, not really organically, but let's say a bit more artificially, we try to put together the sculpture that has a really big track record with a young artist who is on the start of his career, and kind of put their crafts and arts together into one piece. So we took a piece of called Ocelot by Česmír Šuška and joined him with Petr Pufler, who created a special light installation for this installation. So it's a joint venture by these two artists, one the older generation and one the younger generation.
Now, we've mentioned the enormous number of people who saw the show, who will see the show. For somebody, say, going for the first time, how would you describe the experience, because there must be so much input from all sides?
From my point of view, the experience is just simply amazing, because you get to see across generations people wandering the streets of Prague with their maps. It's like Orient Run. You use your map to navigate around the city, and you get all these smiling faces, and I think it's an exceptional experience. And even from a social point of view, you get up people from their couches and their chairs in front of their TVs and get them to enjoy the city center, which is usually normally occupied by tourists in these days. So you get the locals plus the tourists mingle in the city center and enjoy the architecture with something extra added to it.
That is the aspect that we haven't mentioned yet, which is that it makes you see familiar sites, even monumental sites, that become kind of day-to-day in a completely different way. In a way, it kind of reminds me of, say, the work of Christo many years ago, which wasn't with light, but he would cover up whole bridges with canvas to make you see it for what it is. So in this sense, light has kind of replaced that, hasn't it?
At Signal Festival, definitely. Christo's approach was very new at that point of time, and which I kind of like, also non-technological, let's say more analog. Signal Festival tries to approach it in both ways and definitely changes the face of the city for at least 4 days.
Just one final question. For yourself as a co-founder, but also as a viewer, what moment are you most looking forward to, or how will you yourself, say, process the next few days? Will you take part in all the social activity? Will you go to the different installations?
Well, my personal schedule is quite packed, and because we started two conferences which accompany the festival. One is Signal Future Forum, which focuses on creative industries and how to support them in the Czech environment. And then one which I'm super proud of, it's a conference called Transmit, where we brought in artists who combine art and technology, or work with art, with art and technology. And I'm going to be taking part of both of them. So I'm quite busy in terms of time, but I'm definitely going to take time on Sunday evening to go out with my family and enjoy the installations and hopefully get to see all of them. And especially I'm looking forward to installation by Hungarian artist Laszlo Bordos, who is going to be presenting his video mapping on the St. Ludmilla's Church on Námestí Míru.
Okay, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk to me. Best of luck with the festival. I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, we're going to plug it.
Thank you very much for the interview. Okay. And enjoy and hope the weather is going to be a bit better.
Absolutely.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye.
And that was Martin Pošta, founder of the Signal Festival of Light here in Prague. And if you have any comments about today's program here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.